Welcome back once again for another exciting episode of Quality Time. It's me, Eric, your host, and we're going over the second part of this movie, Society. It is exciting. There's some more tales from Mexico and Joe Robinson's wedding. Jeremy has a fun story about his last day at work that's coming up before he switches jobs once again. So really, it's a good one. It's a fun one. Good bits sprinkled without, because that's what we're here to bring you at the Quality Time Podcast. But if I could ask, please, whatever player you're listening to us on, the iTunes, the Stitcher, blah, 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 leave us a 5-star rating. It helps us out tremendously, costs you nothing, and means the world to us. Oh, and by the way, we just reached 10,000 downloads, so thank you so much from us here at Quality Time. So without further ado, get strapped in, turn the volume up to 11, and get ready for the rest of Society.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
What SNL star am I opening up for in July?
Still better than me.
Have you given up yet?
I have given up because it's...
This is it?
There's still too many to... Molly Shannon.
Molly Shannon? No, it's a dude. I'll narrow it down.
Oh, okay.
It's a dude.
Well, that at least cuts it into three quarters. Oh, Garrett Morris.
Garrett Morris. Nope, not
Damn
Garrett
it.
Morris.
Damn
also,
it.
Not David Spade.
Chevy Chase.
Not Chevy Chase. Not Steve Martin.
Okay,
no.
That was good. Yeah.
And I said, he's 90s era. He's 90s era. He's maybe not known.
90s SNL?
I'll let you know, he's probably not most known for his SNL work.
90s.
Not most known for SNL.
I got it.
You got it?
I know he was on Saturday Night Live.
Uh-huh.
Robert Downey Jr.
Yes!
And I knew it. I knew he's doing stand-up
now. It's not Robert Downey
now
Jr.
Now that Iron Man's dead, he's got to do something else. Because he doesn't have enough money.
Jeremy, I'm opening up for the one, the only, Mr. John Lovitz. John Lovitz.
Oh my gosh.
So.
And I should have guessed the wedding singer. That's definitely...
Yeah, I tried to drop hints to you. You weren't getting it, and I had to eventually
No,
get
he
it
was
you.
Definitely one of the...
He's a big deal, right?
One of the bigger SNL. He was early. He was, I guess, he was mid '80s. He wasn't '90s.
Well, I heard, was he mid '80s?
Mid '80s.
So that's what threw you off. Was my clues?
Yes, you threw me off.
Even though you guessed Steve Martin,
because
but that's
through
fine.
The '90s, I'd have to guess a lot of characters that. Well, that was the Farley and Sandler era, and when Will Ferrell first started, and there's Molly Shannon.
Yeah,
and then there was.
David Spade.
Spade. And then, so I would have guessed Spade maybe next if I could still remember the names, but
Tim
no.
Meadows.
No. Levitz was the 80s. He played the devil and he played the liar guy. And by the way, one of the main reasons that I do get my picture taken.
You're right. He was 1987.
Yep.
I was wrong. Okay. So yeah, I'm opening up for John Lovitz.
Well, that's pretty damn big. I'd like to see one of those shows just to meet him.
Well, I'll put you on the guest list.
That'd be fantastic.
If they're not sold out, you're on the guest list.
Fantastic.
Done and done.
I am riding your coattails like Frank Stallone. So.
Well, I heard he's not going to be. I heard he's
not going to sign.
He's not going to be friendly. I heard he's not friendly to male.
He's
comics.
Not
going to
meet people.
I don't think he's a meeter. He's not a greeter. He's not going to give a shit about who I am.
He's not going to say hello to anybody after the show.
It's not important because you know what? We're back with Quality Time right now, everybody. this is who needs SNL when you have a podcast that hundreds of people listen to.
Because this is ladies' night.
Oh, no, what a feeling. Feeling's right, and Mrs. Ladies' Night.
Oh, what a night. Oh,
society.
He's losing his mind.
And I'm reaping all the benefit. That's the funniest thing John Lovitz has ever done, other than The Critic, which is my favorite.
Oh, the best has to be when he played the devil, and he was opposite Roseanne Arquette, who impregnated her as a Rottweiler. So
hell yeah. Well, welcome back to Quality Time. My name is Eric Woodworth, joined by none other than my brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, how are you doing, sir?
Yeah, I guess it's me because I can't think of a character for Society.
You got no Society Two. God, Jeremy.
Yeah, getting lazy.
We count on you for these things.
Hey, at least I'm fucking awake. So
no, that we're happy about more than anything.
We only have to stop the show like 10 times during every podcast so Jeremy can stay awake because he doesn't use a CPAP.
All right, so legitimately, Jeremy gave me an ultimatum. He's like, listen, if I fall asleep during the show, don't throw anything at me. Don't do anything. Because the last two episodes ago, I beamed you with a tape measure, which, by the way, in retrospect, I feel really bad about, okay? And earlier today, when you were in the truck, you were sleeping in the driveway, and I thought it would be hilarious to film me waking you up and startling you awake, and you almost attacked me.
I wasn't awake enough to attack you. I know my limits. I just don't want to be pissed off on purpose, so...
Well, I love you to death, so the last thing I want is for you to attack me, because I know, first of all, I won't fight you. I'll outpace you for a long time and just be the annoying brother, even at the age of 35, running around.
I'm so worthless as a human being to even try to go after you is a lesson in futility.
I wouldn't try to. Only
how many years out of being a real rugby player, you know?
I'm a big softy, though.
The
I'm
only thing
softy.
I can hope is that your knee goes out and I might have a chance of catching you. No,
you're not going to catch me. I know that. I know you won't catch me. I will outrun you faster than anything because you still have the big brother mentality on me. You understand? So
doesn't
I'm scared.
Matter.
I'm scared if we got into a physical altercation, the fear would overtake me and I wouldn't be able to
do
anything.
The only chance I have is retard strength. So.
Retard strength? Yes. Jeremy, you have some tard strength on you. You make fucking the Special Olympians look like fucking pussies.
Yeah, 340 pounds of death, so.
Jeremy, I know I teased last episode that I had a couple of stories to share with you from Cancun, Mexico. From Cancun, Mexico.
My mama used to chase off Cancun from the back of my porch.
So the place we were staying at was an all-inclusive resort, which means you paid a flat rate and all the food is free. You've paid for all your food and drinks, so you could just go up to any bar, like, give me a drink. You don't have to tip, although, you know, if you tip these guys, they're going to serve you first.
Even though you paid only $100 worth, you're drinking $200 worth of alcohol.
No,
so.
It is cheap rail alcohol everywhere. I was watching them pour drinks and I was like, this is not good. You have to specify the good stuff, otherwise it's rail.
What about beer?
Beers, all the beers you can drink. All the alcohol you can drink. It's sitting by a poolside in the sun getting real hammered every day.
So wait, why were you in Cancun?
For Joe and Katie's wedding.
Who's that?
Joe Robinson and Katie Push.
What? Oh, they were getting married or something?
They're married now.
I wasn't invited to that.
I mean, they're not. We were just on vacation, Jeremy.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all good.
You and Restivo both were not invited.
It's okay. It's just like hey, you know, where can we go so we can get away with not have to invite Jeremy to a different country? So.
Hold on. I kind of want to ask Joe Robinson real quick. Hold on. Do you think I can get Joe Robinson on the line and ask him a question? I want to see. Joe would be down for this. I got a quick question to ask Joe. Sorry, I jacked in my phone here. This is me jacking in my phone. I'm going to see if I can call Joe Robinson, and I want to ask him, what's more likely, you getting invited to the wedding or Chris Restivo? Okay, and then I really want to ask Katie, but I'll see. I bet you Katie is with Joe, so hold on. We're gonna try to give Joe Robinson a call here and we're gonna see what happens. I'm gonna turn him all the way. Jeremy, he's not gonna be able to hear you because he's talking, he can only hear my mic,
all right.
I just jacked in the phone. I'm not going to try to Skype him. I'm going to try to call him directly. Let's see if that works out. We're going to find out
here. Same area code?
In just a second.
Same time
no,
zone?
No, he's back. I think he's back now. At least I think he's back. We're going to know soon enough. Okay, we lost Joe Robinson there. Let me try. I'm going to try one more thing.
Just edit us all out.
No, I'm not going to edit seamless. It. No, they can listen to it. Fuck them.
Seamless.
Fuck them hard. All right, we're going to try to call Katie.
Call has been forwarded to an
Damn it.
We are still on honeymoon. You can go fuck yourself.
No, they're not on honeymoon still. I think they're back today, but fuck it. We can't get them. They're too hard to get. If they call back while it's happening, what I was going to ask them was, you know, who's more likely, you or Restivo, to get invited to the wedding?
Well, I am part of Die Laughing Productions fill-in guy.
You're a Die Laughing Productions member. That is
exactly
true.
So.
You're an affiliate. So I would say, if I had to guess, I would say that Joe would say that you're more likely to get invited.
Well,
but
of course
I think
not. I'm not a troll like Restivo.
I think Katie would say that Restivo is more likely. That would be my guess. But that's because she knows Chris Restivo, and the stories that he would make are probably, A, he's not going to try to ruin the wedding, which, Jeremy, you clearly would try to make an impression. Like, you, if you were at this wedding, you would clearly try to impress
to
your
say
Jeremy
that
Woodworth.
I install more fear in my personality than Chris Restivo.
100%. Well, to Katie. No, Jeremy, like, Joe would want you there. Joe would be like, now, Jeremy's the one that we need. Jeremy is 100%. That's the guy we got to bring in.
Okay,
it's
he's
not
perfectly
Restivo.
Not. Okay, he's got a mask on. He's got a mask. We don't know where the mask came from, but now it's on.
Yes, 100%. So that would be my guess. We'll see if he calls back in during the show. Now, Jeremy, while I was there at what the inclusive resort that we were at, I went up and I was like, you know what? I want an Orange Crush. Now, have you ever had an Orange Crush before, Jeremy?
I've listened to a lot of REM songs.
Yes, I've got my orange. Follow me.
Now, since we are somewhat into the movie society almost, would you say that this place is not only inclusive, it's sexclusive?
Sexclusive.
No.
Sex you much. No, so I ordered an Orange Crush, which is generally a fresh squeezed half orange, a little bit of Sprite, and then vodka.
It's not the drink, the soda then.
No, it's not the soda Orange Crush mixed with it,
okay.
Right? So I asked for...
Which is what you drink when you're trying to attract other gay men.
Exactly. So. Welcome to the cruising drink game. Have an Orange Crush. That means anal with methamphetamines.
And blood every time. Always dry.
So I ordered an Orange Crush from Carlos at the bar.
Carlos.
Who clearly, when I said this drink to him, he clearly had never heard of it before. Like, I might as well have been speaking a different language. Because I was. And he looks at me, he's like, Orange Crush. He goes, and then he talks with the other guy in Spanish for a second. He looks back at me, he's like, is Fanta okay? He asked me if Fanta is okay. And I look at my wife like this, like, it's that look of like, these motherfuckers don't know
at
what
which,
we're talking about.
At which you said, no, Faygo.
No, and I looked back at him, I was like, Fanta is fine. So this motherfucker made me an Orange Crush. Literally, it was not a fresh squeezed orange, not a little splash of Sprite. It was vodka, half Fanta. That was my Orange Crush. And can I tell you something?
At this moment, you realize he did not go to bartender school.
No, he did not. This is not the movie Cocktail. Let's put it like that. And at that point, I'm not going to lie to you, I didn't hate it. I didn't hate the Fanta and vodka. Did not hate it at all.
Can we make a suggestion that we make our own Tom Cruise cocktail film where we just spin bottles in the air and they fall to the floor and trash every time? Yeah, we're bartenders. Ah, there's glass everywhere!
It was just like
people's mouths are bleeding from all the glass that's shattered around our dumbasses. So.
I like that. What if it was like? What if we made a new? All right, it's a mashup movie. Okay, it's like it's like the movie Cocktail, except the Saw guy is there. Okay, and the Saw guy,
you have to make this special drink.
He's just like, you have to make this drink and do all the acrobatics with it. The trick is that you have to walk barefoot around. And it's just nothing but really easy shattering bottles that you have to spin up and down. And every time you drop one, you have to walk on broken glass. And you have to do it within the time limit and everything. And then, and then at the end, they just make you eat broken glass.
The only hard part is that to free yourself, you have to vomit into your friend's dead body. And he vomits out the key that will free you. So...
Well, yeah,
it's called Dead Man's Orange Crush.
It's called Dead Man's Crush. Live or die, make this drink.
I'm Tobin Bell, wishing you a happy day.
So that was fun. While I was there, Jeremy, I got two other stories about Mexico. Story one, I did karaoke one night. Okay. Now, I'm doing karaoke, and we're having a blast. I fucking crush it. I showed up to karaoke early. I signed up, and I put two songs in, because there wasn't a lot of people there. And I was like, how many songs can I put in? He was like, you can put two. So I put in the song Tenacious D's Tribute, and then I also put in the song Yoda. And he assured me, he was just like, you're the first person up. And I was like, all right, sweet. I'm going to do Tribute, and then later in the night somewhere, I'm going to do Yoda. Cool.
5 hours later.
So the first person comes up, it's not me. And I've already told everybody who's there because they're excited. I've created a bit of a buzz about myself within the wedding party. They're there to see the Eric Woodworth show at karaoke that night. Because the night prior, I had done, there was a guy with a ukulele, and I did a four-chord song where I sang the Axis of Awesome. So they're already, half of the bar is already prepped to like, we got to see this guy in action. So
I already know how this ends, even though you haven't told me. I think I can guess.
Well, look. The song doesn't come up, and then all of a sudden he brings me up to Yoda. So I sing Yoda, and I do an okay job at Yoda, right? And everybody's into it. There is a all-black wedding that's there. This all-black wedding, this black guy comes up with me on stage. He's watching. He's like, this guy's fucking crushing it. And he's doing fucking karate moves while we're doing it. We become a new combo. We're best friends, right? We look like fucking Tubbs. It's Miami Vice there.
Can I just say from a distance... Todd Fleming.
No, so. Yes, TF, yes. TF. Former guest on the show.
Todd's never been on the show.
Has Todd never been on the show? Oh, God, damn it.
No, but it'd be great if he was. So.
We could have TF up here. So I do the song, and then he goes and tells me, because I crushed it pretty good, and they were like, hey, the first song you picked had a curse word in it, so we couldn't do it. And I was like, Tribute has a curse word? And I had to really think. I was like, does Tribute have it?
Of course.
There's like one part near the end where he's like, fucking good. He like says the F word one time, like in passing near the end of the song, right? There's really not a lot of curse words in Tribute. So he lets me sign up for another song, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. So I put in my next one. Well, the black family gets up right after this, and it's a lady from that wedding party, and... Her first statements are, he was just like, white people to the back of the room. That's how she opens this up. Okay.
Well, thank you, Morris Day.
By the way, the room is like 80% black people, white people in this. And they all just like slowly encroach away from the front of the stage. We're like, okay,
all the white people to the back of the bus.
So we're like, okay, huh? Respect. Okay. And she starts singing and just throwing in F-bombs every other word. just fuck this and fuck that. But meanwhile, it's...
F the police.
There's like little kids in the crowd. So the people immediately, like halfway through her song, they cut her mic, right? And so now she's not... Well, this lady does not take it well. She starts fucking flipping out. They're like, what the fuck is going on? You cut my song off.
Wow.
Blah, 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 blah. They have to kick that family out of karaoke night. And not only kick them out, they just said, karaoke's done. So there's four songs that happened that night, and none others happened because this lady was cursing on the mic.
It goes from Yoda, Ebony and Ivory to straight NWA. So.
Yes. And that's pretty much what happened. So the
Good job.
Rob Mayer had the joke of the weekend. And I told Jeremy,
which won't be said on our program because we don't want to die.
Yeah, it was just. I mean, he said the N-word like six times in a row, and we're just not here to broadcast that. But
he loves black women, and I mean his black woman.
Yeah, like, so he can get away with it. Listen,
so.
The last thing we want to do is besmirch Rob Mayer's sweet name. So we're gonna leave him out of that. Now, I do have one last story from Cancun, Mexico. There was a guy, Jeremy. Okay, I'm going to give you his stats. He was about 180 pounds. He looked about maybe mid-60s. And I'm talking fucking jacked. For a 60-year-old man, he had like a fucking jacked-ass physique. Bald head, but clearly like in his 60s, right?
Kind of like the Nazi from the Raiders of the Lost Ark that comes out to fight Indy by the plane. So.
Yes, like that guy, 100%. Except he had the other Nazi whose face melted his face. Like, real strong. No, he had a very, we'll just say he had a very Greek look to him. And when I tell you, Jeremy, this guy, the amount of hair that this guy had on his body, okay, made fucking Robin Williams look like a newborn baby. And I shit you not, this is the hairiest man I've ever seen. When I'm talking chest hairs 6 inches long and like matted fur, like a fucking, he looked like a legit Sasquatch out there. And he was shirt off, fucking booty hugger, fucking speedo, just like nuts out, guns out. It was like a fur pride parade out there, and it's the most hair I've ever seen on a human being. You know what it looks like? If you've ever seen Umbrella Academy on Netflix, he looks like the guy from Umbrella Academy, the guy who is like the Sasquatch body. 100% same hair level.
I guess I haven't been through enough episodes of Umbrella, so.
Oh, you haven't seen the Umbrella Academy,
is that
the
still
episode?
First season?
Yeah, still first season. Okay. Umbrella. I'll pull this up.
I only made it to like 4 or 5.
Emmy, shirt.
I do like the kid that goes through time, so.
Let's see. Here, check this out. No, the leader, this guy, where is he? The main guy who is like the leader of the Umbrella Academy, who's fucking hairy. Hold on. Hairy. Here you go. Check this motherfucker out right here. Looks hairier than this guy. Looks the matting in the chest area, definitely stronger.
And he's blue.
No, he's not blue. He's just he looks like a giant Sasquatch. You know.
Right.
Yeah, I'm talking about it.
Anyway.
Well, anyway, this digress. Isn't great. This isn't great audio for the show.
Look at this picture that you can't see.
Look at this picture. Hey, you ever seen Umbrella Academy? Can you Google search this thing so you can pull it up and know what our bit is about? Yeah.
And it was all deleted.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, those are my stories from Cancun. I had a great time. I'm sure there's going to be more on the R&J show for you guys to listen to.
I think I found out one of my friends is going fluffy this weekend.
Going fluffy?
Yeah, he went to an S&M bar and he was wearing some sort of. I think he was wearing number one a dress, like a Scotland kind of dress,
mm-hmm.
like
a kilt.
Scottish. Well, not quite a kilt, but kind of like a kilt. And then he was wearing what looked like a fluffy pit bull leather mask, which is unbelievably creepy. Because he's already a horror clown like me, but I know that he's a bachelor.
I like that you meet another horror clown. He's like, listen, I'm in the horror brown business, but you're a freak, dude.
Yeah,
I like that he's at a tier of weird that you can't go to.
You know, I kind of sweat creepiness, and I try to ferment it and make it into something
like
cool.
A fine wine, yes.
Like a fine wine of creepiness and making people uncomfortable. But at the same time, I'm like, dude, why have you gone this way? You know, why are you at an S&M bar?
Why are you at the S&M bar?
And I hate to say, for like years, he's sent me the most unbelievably shocking porno things on my phone, so that if I die, I never want these to be seen on my phone. I have to delete them.
Yeah,
it's like I don't want people to know that I watched this video of some woman destroying a man's privates with like what looked like a stiletto.
Oh yeah, you sent me that one. It's horrible. Yeah, it's horrible.
It's absolutely. And eventually, I was like, dude, please stop sending me horrible shit. And then he kept sending me horrible. I was like, I warned you. Please.
So you found somebody on Facebook to block finally? You finally blocked somebody?
No, I had to warn him 2 or 3 times. I was like, dude, I don't want to see this. I don't want to see vagina bongs.
What's a vagina bong?
A vagina bong is a bong that goes into a woman's vagina and you smoke weed out of her vagina. It's like, I just don't want to see that. Because to me, that's the same as watching porn.
That's a good bit, though, right?
I'm sure it's real interesting. I don't want it on my phone. I don't want to see it. So,
okay.
You know.
Well, fine. Oh, I don't want to see filth. Places
I mean, there's limits. There's only so much you can see when you're like, okay, that's pushing the limits. That's fine. Don't do it every day. Please don't do it every week. You know, I mean...
I can respect a murder clown that has standards.
Yeah,
that's what I'm really getting out of this.
So anyway, can I tell you an important thing that I'm doing for maybe my last week of work?
Yes, please.
At the stone place of stone surfaces, really expensive countertops that none of us can ever afford.
Absolutely.
Like nice marble. So this might be my last week. And for my last week, I've decided this warehouse, which is literally a football field worth of stone, that I'm probably going to hoist myself up on a forklift almost 50 feet high so that I can play my guitar in the warehouse.
That sounds pretty dope,
And get some good video of it. So.
Okay, I'm into it.
So I don't think Monday's definitely not going to be my last day, but I'm going to try to do this maybe Monday or Tuesday morning.
Seems dangerous.
Before,
I like it.
Before the bosses come in. So.
Yes. Yes, queen.
Because me and my buddy, we got that place all to ourselves for a whole half hour. So.
Okay, all right.
And, you know, I might just do either Rock of Ages by Def Leppard or maybe I Want to Rock by Twisted Sister. So.
I want to rock!
I'd like an AC/DC song, but it doesn't fit the whole idea of rock surfaces and, you know.
What about Detroit Rock City?
Well. How about Baltimore Rock City?
What about
cocaine?
Rocked Me All Night Long.
Rock me! Rock me now! Give me that surface to make!
What about Dream Warriors by Dawkins?
Dream Warriors.
Dream Warriors!
I dream of owning this countertop!
I want dream countertops!
Oh, another little story. This is probably kind of interesting. Our warehouse is large enough and kind of open enough to the forest that we live next to that we had a little fox coming through the warehouse.
That's so cute. Was it Swift from David the Gnome?
He was a tiny little baby one, and he was kind of limping. And we're thinking, can't really have a fox roaming our warehouse because we have customers coming through every once in a while. So I get it. We already have a trap behind the place because we probably had the problem before. I decided to try to trap it. So I trap it one morning. I'm like, oh, good. We don't have to worry about the fox coming through it. One of the ladies there... We call animal control. They'll take care of it. Animal control says, you're not allowed to do this, and we can only get rid of it like 100 feet away. So they let it go 100 feet away from the thing. Why did we bother? This is our warehouse. Are we going to have to kill it? Or can we kill it like we should have?
Complete yeah, it seems a little ridiculous. You got to drive it a couple miles away and then drop it off, right?
No, you freaking kill, you shoot it in the head. It's like a rat. It's like a mouse. It's like any sort of vermin that you don't, you know, it's not like a bear.
Yeah, like a Jew. I get it.
You're
the
supposed
way you
to
treat
gas it.
It yeah,
you,
yeah.
Know,
you gas it.
And you
or...
take its gold teeth out.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. So. I'm glad you had Jeremy, you got a good head on your shoulders.
We need to call a Nazi. They'll take care of this. They hate these things.
I'm just kidding. We really love the Jews here, guys.
He loves the Jews. I love
we
the
love
Jews
them.
So much. I'm seeing Fiddler on the Roof with extra Jewish Yiddish. So.
Yeah, I like the Jews so much that I have Schindler's List in color.
But you always watch it to Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon.
It lines up with Dark Side of the Moon so good. Especially the money scene, you know what I'm talking about? Money!
Gosh.
Jews love it!
Oh.
That was a... By the way, that's the funniest thing.
Well,
the,
Roger
the
Waters
idea of
thinks
watching
it's hilarious.
Schindler's List so. Lines up with Dark Side of the Moon. That's really
and that's
funny.
Wrong. It lines up with The Wall. So,
all right, tune in for a very special quality time. Where
I'm
we watch,
just a little Jew. Burning. Sorry.
Where we watch Schindler's List mashed up with Dark Side of the Moon. Oh god, that's gonna be a good episode.
I've never laughed so much, so I'm kidding. That's horrible.
We
the
really,
Holocaust was a horrible thing.
I can't tell you how much we apologize for everything that we've said on the show. We love all of the Jewish people. We're not anti-Semites. We're pro-Semites. We're
damn
we're,
right.
We love
we
fucking,
hate Muslims.
We love Semites. No, we love the Muslims too.
The ones the that Muslims. Aren't assholes.
Yeah, we know. We like...
Like Umar Khan.
Listen. All religions have really dickheads that exist within them. The Jews have the least, I'll say that. Nope. And then Christians and Muslims, we fight it out to see who's number one constantly and asshole-ish.
And, and the Jews go out of their way to commit suicide for you in any sort of combat, so...
Oh, man. Good times. Well, we're ready to get into tonight's topic because... Tonight we're going over part two
of Society.
By the way, is there a better intro music than this, Jeremy?
I'm pretty sure this is the same to Empire of the Sun with Christian Bale.
Society waits for us, Jeremy. Now, up until this point, we have established our character, Billy.
Why did you think that high society had anything to do with smoking weed?
Isn't that what high society is?
No,
oh, I'm thinking about High Times magazine. I'm sorry.
It's just porno. It's porn.
Sorry, my
Pretty
bad.
Much the same as Genesis.
Mm.
But not as classy as Jugs.
I'm a big Fox fan. That's
Fox.
Where I'm at. Fox.
Must have been after my time.
Yeah, you know what?
Before people went to the internet versus magazines.
So, we've established that Billy seems to be losing his mind. He's running for class president. He's lost his girlfriend, but he has a new love interest in Clarissa. Doesn't trust his parents. He's heard a sex tape orgy of his sister fucking Ted Ferguson, which is clearly the biggest dickhead name that you can have as a person. And he turned this tape over to a psychiatrist who appears to have either changed the tape or Billy's really going fucking crazy, right? So,
but then the tape was normal. It was just them talking normally.
So we come into the story now, and Milo and Billy head to Blanchard's funeral. Blanchard was the guy who had recorded the sex tape off of Jenny's hidden microphone and had heard this whole orgy and brought it to his attention. Milo, while he's at the funeral, pokes his finger into the face of Blanchard, and it goes in like a fucking a pair of scissors
like
into
a
wet paper bag. Just like Amita just goes whoosh, like this, like oh gosh, like that doesn't look like him. He just like smooth it over, and then all of a sudden, Petrie sneaks up on him. That's the gentleman who's running for class president against Billy, and tells Billy that he has something to tell him about society later tonight. So
here it comes.
Is it a song
time
again?
Oh, I thought you were playing a clip. Sorry.
I'll do it. This is really good. Titular line. Excellent. So he goes to meet Petri. Luckily, Milo is trailing behind Billy. Billy doesn't know he's being followed by Milo. Billy then goes into the woods where he's supposed to go meet him and find Petri's SUV is completely ran off the road. The lights are going off. Milo sees Billy enter the woods but doesn't follow directly behind him. And then he sees an SUV leave shortly after he enters the woods. Billy grabs a stick because he knows something's up. He goes to investigate, pulls the door open, and finds Petri slit ear to ear in a pool of his own blood within the car. Billy chases around some sounds in the woods after that, laughter that he hears, only to discover a shirt hanging from a tree, and a man completely hidden in the darkness pushes him over, gives him the old O.J. Simpson, bow, the fucking chest slam, stiff arm to the chest, grabs the shirt, and then runs off. Billy chases him to the freeway, but he's gone. And in front of the, he finds himself in front of a large house that he goes to knock on the door of so he can make a phone call to the police. And oddly enough, Clarissa, the hot girl, is there, and she answers the door. So he calls the police, and they go back to the scene of the crime. But now, the scene of the crime is not the same car that he saw. It's a different car, and there's no body to be found. The police basically call him a fucking dickhead for even wasting their fucking time. Which, by the way, it's still weird to see a car with lights on in the middle of the woods with nobody in it. Like, that's still like...
Probably nothing happened here.
That's still like a legit, like, thing of interest to the police at this point.
Look,
right?
If you don't have a body, you're just bothering us.
Yeah,
you,
show us the guts or fucking... Or show us some cocaine. Otherwise, we don't need it.
Can I say another important plot point of this? It's like, extra douchey cop. It's like they cast everybody as douchey as possible in this movie. It's
hey,
like,
why don't you do us a favor and go fuck yourself? Never call us again. We got things to do. We're trying to protect the fucking community, Billy.
My best friend is Tim Ferguson.
Yeah, I'm friends with Ted Ferguson. Do you need me to call the Fergusons right now?
Don't you mistake me for Peter Allen. So. Is it Peter Allen from American Psycho that everybody keeps thinking Christian Bale is? Leto thinks he's Peter Allen or Paul Allen. Yeah, Paul Allen.
Yes. So, next we see the big class presidential debate. He gets up on stage and tries to tell the school about society.
David Blanchard's death was no accident. David Blanchard tried to tell me about the society that kills to keep its existence a secret. They killed Blanchard. Martin Petrie tried to tell me about this society, but they got to him before I did. I saw Petrie last night in Franklin Canyon, murdered. Martin Petrie is dead.
What an idiot.
As Martin walks onto the stage.
Someone like to tell me what's going on here?
Conspiracy.
Car trouble.
Oh, you're an
nice
idiot.
Speech, Whitney.
By the way, I like you can hear Ted here doing the nice speech, Whitney. The
nice speech, Whitney. Nice speech, Whitney.
I like it. Good dickhead move by Ted Ferguson.
I need to do the really fast titular line. Titular line.
Titular line.
I'll do the Judas Priest one next
time. Okay, we'll get it. So. We'll get it moving forward. It's going to be a drop that you're going to hear over and over again.
Oh, and
on
by
the
way, Rob Halford says a straight man couldn't do the job that I do as a singer. So,
so
better by you, better than me, because I'm gay.
So
you got another thing coming inside your butt. Breaking the law of sodomy.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, classic Jeremy
screaming, bit. Screaming for gay sex. Sorry.
Hot for leather, blue, cruising for gay sex.
I'm your turbo gay lover.
I will shoot juice through this rubber. Yeah.
It wasn't until he made that song that I realized he was gay. So
that was the thing.
That was the hump. So
it wasn't the fucking ultra the village people wear that he would wear out on stage.
That seemed
it was
totally
that.
Normal.
He
know?
Was just like, no, I listen to metal like Billy Idol. He's not gay, dude. He's fucking straight. Billy Idol is not fucking.
I do not listen to gay music. I only listen to George Michael's Queen and, of course, Elton John.
I listen to all the straights of the world, like Elton John, Queen, fucking, you know, I love Rob Halford. It was like, you know, all the man music, all the shit when shit used to have balls. You know what I'm talking about? out, man. You know what I mean?
Well, Rob Halford did come out and say he was getting... Well, that's cool. I mean, like, you know, whatever.
I mean, that's one person Freddie Mercury super guy. What are you? Freddie Mercury, what?
Well, I only listen to really cool straight guys like Paul Stanley.
Hey, David Bowie and David Bowie and Mick Jagger had sex. you just spit taking somebody's face. It's
like, but it's although I believe that Paul Stanley has his sex with as many women just to try to prove that he isn't gay.
Hey, it's me,
so.
Paul Stanley. I'm a straight one, Jeremy. You can listen to my music. Listen to how cool. I have a song called Love Gun. It's about having sex with women.
I originally wrote it as Love Gun in My Mouth. So.
Oh yeah!
Oh gosh!
So
Kiss
Billy
fans hate us.
Billy, after he's now been embarrassed by Petri showing up at the speech and very much alive, he thinks he's going crazy. He runs off for his fucking Jeep, and Milo comes clean and tells him that meets him over at the car and says, "Hey man, I left the fucking blow up doll and the voodoo doll and all that bullshit in your car. But you know what? I followed you last night and I did see Martin and Ferguson leaving the woods last night." So Billy is now convinced that he's not going crazy and it's all a fucking setup. So he heads home and all the players are in his house waiting for him. The family, Judge Carter, his shrink, everyone. Milo sees an ambulance pull up behind up at the house. And they get out and basically fucking sedate Billy. They stick him with a needle in his neck and then take him to the hospital. Milo follows behind. And he goes to ask the desk what room he's in, but they don't have his name. Milo goes to snoop around, and he almost checks underneath this one sheet of a body that's laying on a gurney, but the nurse interrupts him and then tells him that he's in the morgue. Milo doesn't believe it. He just arrived there, and he was very much alive. And then he goes back outside, and Milo, to Milo's shock and dismay, he sees Billy's Jeep outside. Now, meanwhile, inside the hospital, Billy sleeps heavily sedated and drugged.
Did you read the trivia about this?
No, no. What was the scenes
outside the hospital were actually the same hospital from Halloween 2?
Yeah, oh, no, I did read that. That is pretty cool. Yeah. And it does look very much like Halloween 2.
I wonder if Billy Warlock remembered being... Was he in the same scenes from Halloween 2?
I don't know, because he's in Halloween 2. That's interesting. He's just available. He's like the local actor for that hospital. That's like the only place where he acts. He's like, no, I got this hospital game down on lock. He's like, yeah, I was in Halloween 2. I'm about to be in this new movie called Society.
I'm pretty sure that's how they cast. Like, which actor is closest to here so they'll actually show up? So.
You know, they say I look a lot like Charlie Sheen. I don't know if you've ever heard that before, but these are things people say about me.
Hey, Charlie Sheen, fresh from The Wraith and Red Dawn after this.
Can I tell you something, Jeremy? I don't want you to get mad as
Ferris
soon as
Bueller's
I say
Day
it.
Off.
I've never seen The Wraith.
Well, that's a must
okay?
see.
I'm not.
That is one of Clint Howard's greatest films.
I don't want to be hated about it for it.
And I hate to say,
is that the one where he says, you lose your car.
Yes.
You got
yes.
it. Okay.
Yes.
Maybe I do like The Wraith.
Starring that Dodge. Yes.
I only know that because of you lose your car. You got it. Okay. Sorry. We're talking about The Wraith.
Very
everybody.
Dated. Very bad.
So, meanwhile, inside the hospital, Billy snaps out of his heavily drugged state, and he thinks he can hear Blanchard being operated on right behind the curtain next to him. He gets up in like pure delirium and rips off the curtain, only to find nothing. He walks out of the hospital, fine as fucking dog shit, just fine as a fucking breeze, and sees Milo out by his car. But Billy seems a little more off than normal.
They said you were dead. Things are just the way they seem, only more so, Milo. What happened? What did they do to you?
Nothing! I'm here, aren't I, huh? I won, Milo. I'm free. They couldn't handle Whitney the Wonder Boy.
Bullshit, it's a setup. Look, they even brought your sheep here.
Come on, they just want me to be happy.
Bill, you're officially dead. Come on, can't you see they're setting you up for something?
paranoid? I'm not paranoid. All my fears are real. Come on.
He hops in his Jeep and he drives off.
I realize as a director, when you have your actors act out a scene, it's like, okay, if you're not up to my par of acting, just do it as shitty as you possibly can.
Yeah, yeah. You got to just own the part that you have.
And I'm thinking maybe they did even...
If you got it, flaunt it.
If they did like two or three takes and the two or three takes were worse, I'd use the worst takes. It's like, you know, if you're going to F it up, just F it up even more. Just let it go. Yeah.
Well, we're about to get to the meat and potatoes of this movie very soon. He drives off and then goes to confront Clarissa. He starts slapping her around. Not very nice. Not very nice. He's like legit slapping around this girl he barely knows and slept with a single time.
Because she slept with Morris Day.
She doesn't give him much but warns him, don't go home. But Billy says he's ready to fucking party. Miss Carlin then walks in, gets into Milo's car because Milo's followed Billy back to this, and the simple-minded Miss Carlin gets into the car and keeps trying to grab his hair, and she's like, okay, fine, you can come with me. So he keeps following Billy, but Miss Carlin is now in the back seat. Billy goes and enters the house. The lights are off. The power's off. He goes to grab a drink of water and sloppily drinks this. Like, drinks it like the movie Airplane has a drinking problem. Drinks it, like, all down his shirt. Makes no sense at all. Even in, like, horrible psychotic states, I feel like you still know how to drink water, right? Like, that has to be... You haven't forgot that. He grabs a knife like he did in the opening scene of the movie, and then he sees his parents pull up in a car. They come in, and then all of a sudden, he pulls the knife on his parents, and all of fucking society is now in the room with him. I'm talking, it's just a room full of people just appear out of nowhere, and they're all laughing at him as... Billy gets tied down.
I hate to say the best part of the scene that just comes out of nowhere is the neck rod that they are ready to get.
Well, they had like the dog catcher rod. They're like, ha ha, we got him, boys. And we hear this as Judge Carter is introduced into the film for his most famous speaking parts.
Well done. Well done indeed.
What's going on?
You see, Bill, it's like this. There's no business like show business.
Who are you?
I am not your mother.
Jesus, Bill, you never were one of us. Who are you? You almost understand, don't you, Bill? You're a different race from us, a different species, a different class. You're not one of us. You have to be born in the society.
Alien scum.
No, we're not from outer space or anything like that. We have been here as long as you have. It's a matter of good breeding, really.
Alien scum!
Alien scum!
So shit's getting real here at the party. They've tied him down, he thinks they're aliens, but in fact, no, this is just what upper-class society is.
And it's 100% true of this movie. So, and the best thing, they're all white except for one person that's black at the party.
We have one black person here. That means we're not racist. We're just monsters. So more and more people start showing up to the party as Milo and Clarissa's mom watch from a distance.
I hate to say I see a remake of this with all the rich people as white, and it's a Gordon Peele movie with the black
No, Jordan
person.
Peele. Gordon I like that you Peele. Call him Gordon Peele.
Oh,
that's
Jordan,
a good
Jordan,
Jordan
yes.
Peele.
Yes.
They parade Bill around the house on the dog catcher pole, delighted to all the party, to the delight of all the partygoers. They're just like, look at this swine in front of us. Clarissa is there, and she's kind of appalled by the scene. The judge is pleased by the dad and Ferguson's work in raising this great young boy that they're going to enjoy this evening. The ambulance pulls up once again, and another patient is brought out, but is covered by a sheet. Milo decides to take in Clarissa's Neanderthal mom as his date so she can they can infiltrate the party. Blanchard is revealed to be the guy underneath the sheet, and then mom and sister start to undress with that sweet judge when we hear this.
After the first chunting, we'll have that special treat we've been hearing so much about. A wonderful specimen in his prime. Nurtured by Jim and Nan in their very own home.
And it's very creepy to see this old man start to get undressed with the mom and Jenny, his sister. Clarissa is still appalled by the whole scene and then spits in Ferguson's face. Ferguson says to Billy after that,
"Keep your eye on Blanchard, Billy boy, because you're next."
And what happens to Blanchard from here is nothing short of fucking atrocious. The partygoers, half nude, all surround him and start touching him and sucking him, and like their faces like touch to him and like become these weird, almost like the movie Thing looking attachments to him as they start kind of like sucking him dry. And there's so, first of all, the oil levels in this scene, it's so glistening.
Did you kill my mic?
No, your mic's hot. No. Mic's hot. It's just fucking horrible looking as they start to just have this weird alien sex orgy with this young man.
This is definitely when I started masturbating.
Yeah. So. And, oh, yeah. Oh, I must admit, even right now, my pants are off listening to this. Then we see, as this is all going down and Blanchard is getting fucking manhandled, we see... oh, God. It's just fucking...
I love the fact that they use the same music from the orgy scene in the movie Conan.
So, we then see... Rich... then we see the judge speak to Blanchard.
What's going on? Didn't you know, Billy boy?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is the scene where Ferguson is talking to Billy.
The rich have always sucked off low-class shit like you.
And then Ferguson puts out a giant long tongue out of his mouth and like licks Billy's face, which is really gross. And then we see the judge go in front of Blanchard.
And now we'll get to the bottom.
Oh, God.
Of this.
And he sticks his fist up Blanchard's ass and rams it in there. And the fist goes so far up his ass that it gets to, like, his mouth. And you see the fingers come through the face and like, poking the fingers through his eye holes on the backside as he's doing probably the greatest fisting scene you've ever seen in film.
Into the anals of film.
Jeremy, give me your takeaway from the first fisting scene from this movie. I say first. I say first for a reason.
Well, you know, it's all just an allegory to, you know, the class struggle between the rich and the poor and how a judge can really ram his fist up your ass in real life. So, you know.
So, Yeah, it's pretty fucking graphic. A lot of the people are just putting their fingers in and out of Blanchard. He's getting destroyed, and now he's been fisted to death.
You
so,
know, there's been plenty of movies where it's symbolic how a judge can ram his fist up your ass, but we actually see it in this movie.
Yeah, when you
in
see
real
it,
time.
It's another thing to actually see it, though, right?
And actually go up into your brain and destroy your face.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. You know, it's and got to be honest with you, decent practical effect. I was reading up on some of this movie, and the director actually put a sign on the studio that said abandon all hope before you enter when they were filming these scenes. So
the time it took to use the appliances to go to these women's faces to attach to Blanchard alone. So
I also have to mention like how creepy Judge Carter is in this, because he's very oily and they do a lot of close-up shots where he's just like, get ready for this. Well, and it's just so creepy. They actually said the director had to scale back that guy's part because he thought it was so horrible that like he was just like, we can't give him everything that we filmed in this.
This man is creepier than the fat guy in Porky's.
Dude, it's a hard watch just watching this judge oily talk into the screen.
The only thing that could have made it creepier is if they were more Southern.
God, so. It's fucking bad, dude. So, while this is all happening, Clarissa frees Billy, and Billy makes a run for it. He runs upstairs past all of the partygoers and runs into his shrink, who now his shrink now basically has the Joker face cut, like his fucking lips are sliced on each side. And in what is probably, I would say, the weirdest scene, because no, the next scene is the weirdest scene I've seen in the movie. In the second weirdest scene, the his shrink's head all of a sudden turns into a giant NWO New World Order symbol, like fucking just straight up. Literally turns into the NWO symbols sign, and it's just, if you're not familiar with it, it's your middle finger and ring finger pressed together to your thumb finger with your pinky and your first finger up, and it's the two sweet sign. That's his head, okay? That's this guy's head is this. And then Billy makes a run for it as another NWO giant long arm chases him down the hallway into another room.
Well, is it really the NWO, or is it he's like a giant flick finger ready to like flick him with the middle finger? So
I
thought it was more like this.
I saw it as the NWO symbol, like two.
I saw
sweet,
it with
like
a single
that.
Finger.
Do you think
like
it's single
ready
finger?
To, he's ready okay. to flick him like a fly. Like a fly.
Let me see here. Let me see. Society.
And if you saw the interviews for Yuzna, I think they said that Yuzna built the film around these two scenes. With the other one coming up with the face where it shouldn't be, and this giant hand on the top of the head, that's what the whole film is built around, and just how to get to that moment.
God, this. By the way, don't search Image Search Society 1989. It is a thing of fucking nightmares to look at. God, it's fucking horrible.
I think I kind of compare it to Brain Dead with Peter Jackson, how although the Peter Jackson action is 10 times faster and a lot more at the end of Brain Dead.
No, much better in Brain
Dead. But equally creepy. I hate to say that, or, thank God I'm not even a quarter as insane as I was when I was losing my mind, that this film would probably seriously terrify me if I was the level of insane that I was either 20 years ago or 30 years ago.
So he runs through to the next door, but things get even more bizarre there as he sees his mom transform into a horrible creature that has fucking arms, like giant jacked arm man's like hands that she's walking around on his legs.
But more than that, it's her mother and her father together as one
person.
No,
it's her mother and her sister, because her sister's fucking drops out the bottom
okay,
of the...
Okay.
It, like, but near
it's
the asshole
area. It's definitely her dad's arms.
Mm-hmm. Well, you think it's the dad's arms, but they're all kind of morphed together into this giant being that's just... And then the head of his sister pops out of the bottom and goes, hey, do you want to go for some Oedipus action? Some Oedipal action? Which is weird because Oedipus action means that you'd fuck your mother, and that's his sister saying... Like it makes no sense at all.
The classic Oedipus Rex.
Yes. So, God, it's fucking horrible. And then under the covers... All of a sudden, something shakes its way from under the covers in the bed, and it's his dad, who is an actual ass looking at you, and his face is in where the asshole is. And he's like, hey, Billy, looks like I really am a butthead. And what is probably, God damn it, a 10 out of 10.
Or when he makes fart noises.
Yeah, he starts going. Oh God, it's so fucking good.
I hate to say this is even. This is actually half as creepy as that Japanese guy that does the on stage performance as the angry anus face.
Yeah, dude, I know what you're talking about. The Asian guy. God, that's fucking horrible.
The day with bad Taco Bell. So,
he runs back out of the room in pure horror, only to see the shrink still out there, no NWO hand head, trying to wrangle Billy around the neck with the dog catcher once again. He runs back downstairs, and the orgy of people downstairs has essentially turned into a giant mix of like the thing from the movie Thing and Pizza the Hut, right? Like, it's just a wet
string cheese
glob
everywhere
of just like people connected to people in
it's
a weird
like,
fleshy
like a people
mass.
Pizza.
It looks fucking horrible. Everyone is morphing into one another.
I'm just waiting for a giant ass to cover the screen to not see this horrible thing. So
Milo has Milo and Mrs. Clarissa's mom have beat up a cop, so he's in a cop uniform walking around. Then Billy challenges Ferguson to a fight one-on-one, which just seems like the right thing to do. All of a sudden, the big mass fucking orgy of skin and fucking flesh kind of dissipates into the floor, and nude people start just like emerging from all of this. The judge gets up, coughs up a hairball, and he goes, I'm getting a little too old for this. So,
quoting a Lethal Weapon, of course. So
the judge then sets up the duel.
Members of society.
There it is again, yes.
Hailing from Beverly Hills, with lineage dating from Julius Caesar and Genghis Khan. The master of the hunt, the champion of the shunt, Ted the Tycoon Ferguson.
Yeah, let's go Ted. Fuck shit up.
Hunting.
Fuck this kid.
And in this corner, from nowhere in particular, Bill the Bastard Whitney.
Two men enter. One man leaves.
Begin.
So they start fighting, and Milo at one point ends up giving up his position because Ferguson's kicking the shit out of Billy. His buddy quickly is subdued. Fergie makes a quick work of him and eventually gets on top of him. Clarissa tries to come in and help Billy out. Fergie punches her in the face. Mom falls. After Clarissa gets punched, though, her retarded mother then fucking bull rushes her way in and falls on Billy. And then Fergie then gets up after he gets out from underneath of Mrs. Clarissa and starts laying fists into him. And then says this to Billy.
We don't lose. Ever.
And he starts kissing Billy on the face and doing the suck mouth thing as he like connects to him. But Billy's been paying attention during this. He's learned some things. So he picks his fist up and shoves it right up fucking Ferguson's ass and pulls the same ass move that the judge does to Blanchard earlier in the movie. Punches him all the way through his fucking thing, rips out his eyeballs, and then actually turns him inside out like a fucking sleeping bag. It's fucking badass. Good practical effects that you need to check out. His dad tries to block his way on the way out, and Billy punches his dad in the face, calls him a butthead once again. Milo, Billy, and Clarissa make their way for the Jeep, and then they drive off. Now, back at the house, the judge, the shrink, look over the disfigured pile of what's left of Ferguson, saying, "Don't touch it. Let him regenerate." When all of a sudden, we hear this.
Well, Dr. Cleveland, it looks as though I may have an opening in Washington next summer. Know what I mean?
The ending.
And
yes.
That brings us to an end of 1989's Society.
Can I tell you what I think of the fight between Billy and Ferguson?
Yes.
But it was Fergalicious.
Yes, Fergalicious. And Jeremy, that is Society in a nutshell. Your takeaways from the film.
This movie wet my vagina so much that I have to see Society 2 now.
Yes, Society 2, Electric Boogaloo.
And I don't know how many tens of dollars we have to give Brian Usna to get a sequel to this. And maybe bring back Billy Warlock after he's been trying to escape Society for a good 20 years now. I'm sorry, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And that's it, man. Society. I liked the movie overall. It was a big buildup. I feel like this would be a great movie if it was done by a Robert Rodriguez. Like, Robert Rodriguez would do this film so much justice that it deserves.
I hate to say that this movie didn't seem that weird to me because of, number one, Bride of Reanimator was equally as weird. And also Peter Jackson. It's like, is he trying to do Peter Jackson or is Peter Jackson trying to do Brian Usna?
Yeah, I don't know. Is it life imitating art or art imitating life?
Well, you know, we spread our disease to countries like New Zealand and they give the love back to us. So, and bring us Lucy Lawless as well. Now, Brian Usna, you know, just probably top three horror comedy directors between him and Jackson and Sam Raimi. You know, there's the triple trinity of comedy horror right there.
I can't suggest enough, though, to any of our listeners, watch the last 30 minutes of this movie. It is worth its price in
and
fucking
all that,
gold.
And all that plot that you missed through the first hour, it doesn't matter. It does not matter.
Jeremy, what do you got going on? Where can people find us?
Find us?
Yeah. I guess at ericcomedy.com.
Yeah,
where you get,
go
hey,
through your stuff.
Hey, why don't you leave us a 5-star rating? It really helps us out. It costs you nothing. You can find all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. I'm going to be opening up for John Lovitz in July, so check that shit out.
John
and we got Wendy
Lovitz.
Townsend on deck, so check her out as we're going to go over T2 coming up
Townsend
soon.
Townsend 2.
A lot of exciting stuff. You can catch the Second Saturday Shit Show, which is free every second Saturday of the month, hosted by Mike Quinlan and Kimberly Callahan. Jeremy, do us a favor and take us out.
Looks like I have a new opening for my role in Washington. I love rape.